Good evening. Would you please turn to Galatians chapter 5? We're continuing in the study of the fruit of the Spirit. And this is the message that I had planned for the Sunday night that was iced out. And I hope I've condensed it enough so that we'll have lots of time for prayer. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And the word tonight is meekness. Now you may recall that Mark Shelley brought us a message on meekness the last time he was here in the Sunday evening, and I appreciated his message. But I think that this evening's will be quite different. Frankly, I have a little trouble with the word meekness. I don't know whether it's because I've known so many Christians that are not meek, or whether I find myself not meek, or if the original words actually mean something that is different than I think of meekness. It may relate to one of the Sunday school teachers I had when I was in Boston. His name was Willie Ingalls. And he was meek in appearance, and he was meek in speech, and everything about him was meek. And I don't think I learned a single thing from being in his Sunday school class for 4 or 5 years. And it was strange because he had a younger brother that was exactly the opposite, a very gregarious extrovert, but Willie is my concept of being meek. But I think it's well when we're considering a word like this or any other word to look up what the original in the Hebrew and in the Greek really mean. And most of the synonyms in the Hebrew and Greek are the same. And the first one that I found in Strong's Concordance for meekness was humility, mildness, gentleness. And in the Hebrew word, strangely enough, the word affliction. Now that didn't surprise me because I'd recently been reading through the scriptures. I think it was the Rotherham translation that I was reading. And when it comes to the verse in Numbers that says that Moses was the meekest man in all the earth, the margin said, or afflicted. And he was certainly afflicted by the children of Israel. Every time they had a problem, they blamed him for it. And he was sort of between a rock and a hard place because God would tell him, this is what you should tell the children of Israel, and this is the way you should go. And the children of Israel would find fault with Moses for it, when actually he was doing God's work. Now, whether the right word in Numbers is really what we think of as meekness for Moses, or whether it really was afflicted, I don't know. But it's a possible alternate to that word. Now, we're not going to, all the verses we're going to turn to tonight do not actually contain the word meekness, but they refer principally to humility or humbleness. Let's read first in Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. And these two verses are quoted twice in the epistles to the Corinthians. Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And I personally believe that the more we get to know the Lord, the less we're going to think of ourselves, and the more that we're going to marvel that he loved us and died for us on the cross. Now, while we're in Jeremiah, turn to chapter 50, please. Jeremiah 50, verse 31. Behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day is come, the time that I will visit thee, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all about him. Now, pride, of course, is the exact opposite of humility, and this is what the Lord says about the proud, and there's a great deal in the scriptures about the proud. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, is not proud. Now turn back to Luke chapter 14, please. We're going to be turning to a lot of scriptures, but this is the last time I'm scheduled to be standing up here ministering to you, and so you're going to have to put up with turning to scriptures, because I'd sooner read the scriptures than talk about what the scriptures say. Luke 14 and verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of those that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And I had occasion to put the exhortation that the Lord gives us here into practice any number of times when we were living out in the state of Washington. I was the president of the most significant operation in the little city we're in, and every time there was a United Way dinner, or a congressman, or a senator came through, or the Salvation Army had a dinner, they used to want the key people from the various companies to sit up at the head table. And invariably I would go in and I'd sit down at one of the lower tables. And time after time I'd have someone come down to me and say, Mr. Squire, you've got a seat up at the head table. I'd say, well, I'd sooner sit down here. And that's a fact, because there would be 10 people sitting at the tables down below, and you could talk to 9 of them. Whereas when you're up at the head table, you've only got one on one side and one on the other. And maybe one is talking to the one on the other side, and then you're stuck with just one. So actually, I did prefer to be down there, but time and again, I was told to come up higher, just as the Lord indicated here. Now, it's well for us to realize that meekness is not weakness. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am meek and lowly in heart, in Matthew chapter 11. And yet we find in John chapter 2, the Lord going in and driving the money changers out of the temple. Well, how do you reconcile those two things? Well, the Lord was not only meek, he was also righteous. And he saw these people making money in their money changing in the temple of God, and they had no right to be there. And so the Lord exercised his righteousness in driving them out of the temple. And he made a whip to drive them out with. So he was pretty strong in his efforts. And you know, the Lord called the scribes and Pharisees time again hypocrites. He didn't mind if they got upset, and the several times they did get very upset. And as you know, eventually they plotted to kill them. But the Lord saw right through them. The last verse of John chapter 2 said that he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. And the first verse of John chapter 3 actually has a but as the first word. But there was a man of the Jews, Nicodemus by name. He knew what was in man, but there was a man of the Jews named Nicodemus. The Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself, we're told, in Philippians chapter 2, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, there are a number of things that we're told we will gain by enjoying this fruit of meekness. And as I found this particular verse, I thought, I don't think I've ever heard anybody ask people to turn to the prophecy of Zephaniah. Not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. Will you turn to that one, please? Zephaniah chapter 2. It's the prophecy just before Haggai. And Haggai is before Zechariah, which is before Malachi. Zechariah chapter 2 and verse Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. We need to seek meekness because we're exhorted to. The Lord says, seek to be meek. Now that's not what we hear. We're taught to seek to be aggressive. Make sure nobody walks all over you. Make sure you get what's coming to you. Make sure nobody gets in line ahead of you in a grocery store. But the Lord tells us here in Zephaniah, seek meekness. Now turn, please, to Psalm 37. Nobody's slowing that clock down tonight, so I'm just going to read most of these and not make much comment about them. Psalm 37, verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And of course, this is quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So that we get a blessing in meekness. Now, aggressive people think that they get things and they gain something. But you know, the more you get, the more you want. The rich people are never happy with the amount of money they have. They always want more. And aggressive people are never happy with their gain. But the meek shall inherit the earth, said God in His Word. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 29, please. Isaiah 29 and 18. And in that day, and of course this is the day of the Lord that the word is speaking about, shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Now, if you're going to increase your joy, that means you've already got some joy. And if you're not happy in the Lord, then it's time you examined yourself as to whether you're really right with the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And the Word tells us that if we exercise meekness, we will increase our joy in the Lord. Now, while we're in Isaiah, turn to chapter 61. And of course, these are the words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when He stood up in Nazareth. And He read from this particular scroll, Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And the Lord Jesus stopped there and He said, this day, this word come to pass. But you know, the marvel is that it's also applicable to us who are Gentiles. It was applicable to the Jews whom the Lord Jesus addressed in Nazareth. But the marvel is that you and I, who were heathen, outside of the commonwealth of Israel, this is to us. The word of the Lord has been preached to us. And it's well for us to understand what God says to us in His word. You know, meek people, I think, are much more apt to believe that they need salvation than proud people. Proud people think they're doing pretty well. They compare themselves with others, and comparing themselves with themselves, Paul says, you're making a big mistake. But meek people, I think, would first of all believe that they need salvation. And we're also told that if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That's found in Galatians chapter 6. He doesn't deceive anyone else, but he deceiveth himself. Now Psalm 22, please. Of course, this psalm is a messianic psalm, and its primary application is to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think that there's a secondary application to us, his people. Verse 26, Psalm 22, 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. As we may already mention, the proud are already always looking for more. But the meek are satisfied with what the Lord gives them. And it's well for us as Christians to be satisfied with what he gives us. If he gives us health, be satisfied with health. If he gives us poor health, be satisfied with that. If he gives us wealth, be satisfied and happy about it. If he chooses not to, then we should be satisfied in that condition also. Isaiah 53, referring to the Lord Jesus, says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The Lord said, it is finished. He'd done the work. He'd accomplished what God sent him to do. And he was satisfied with what he had done. And I trust that he's satisfied with his church today. Now turn over to a couple more psalms, Psalm 25, please. Psalm 25 and verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Proud people think they know it all. And it's very difficult for them to learn lessons. And sometimes God has to take them down several pegs before they're willing to listen to what he has to say and read the word and understand what he has to say. If we're exercising true meekness, true humility, then we are teachable. The Holy Spirit will be able to tell us what God has for us in his word. Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, back in the New Testament, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. No, I don't want 1 Peter chapter 3. I decided not to use that one. Psalm 45, go back to where we were. Psalm 45 and verse 4. And this is also a psalm that concerns the Lord Jesus. In thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness, and thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. As I said, this applies principally, first of all, to the Lord Jesus, but I believe that it's well for us also to ride prosperously in the truth and meekness and righteousness that we have in our Savior. And Psalm 147, And verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter, humble thyself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And James chapter 1, next to the last. James chapter 1. And verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And this verse exhorts us, when we read the scriptures, let the Holy Spirit apply it to us. It's very easy to read the scriptures and say, well, now I wish so-and-so would read that. I wish somebody else would understand what God says. But when we're reading the scriptures, we should have not only an open mind, but an open heart. And let God speak to us. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 3, please. The next book over. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse you in your good conversation or manner of life in Christ. When people question what we believe, our response should be given in meekness. We can give it positively if we stick to the Word. If we read the Word, this is what God says in the scriptures. But we need to be meek about it, not that with something that we know that they don't know, but it's what God says. And we need in our dealings with others to preach the word in meekness. Then it will be a blessing to them and to us also. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the meekness and gentleness of our Lord and Savior. We thank thee for his humility, that as he was God, yet he became man. And not only a man, but he took upon him the form of a bond slave. Not only took upon him the form of a bond slave, but he was willing to bear away our sin, the sin of the world, in his own body on the cross of Calvary, so that we could be redeemed, and so that we could have fellowship with thee, and that we could spend eternity in glory with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that day when we will be able to express our love and appreciation to the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee for thy word, and we pray that thou bless it to each one of us. We help us, Father, to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit which is given to us freely from thyself. Now, as we open our hearts to thee in prayer, help us to recall those people those subjects about which we should pray, may they each one be blessed according to their need. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.